KYX, WKDZ, and Commonwealth Policy Center Candidate Forum for the 1st District Court of Appeals here in Kentucky. With me is incumbent judge Chris McNeil. Chris, it's great to have you here. And also with me is Jenny Hines. And I did a little research on both of you, went to your websites and was on your Facebook pages. And one of the things I noticed that you have in common is that both of you identify as being Christians. And Judge McNeil, this is the first question. You are active in a church here in Paducah. You serve as one of the deacons. I want to know, to what extent does your Christian faith affect your public life? Many people identify as Christian in Kentucky, and on a personal level, they share Christian values. But in particular, what I'm wondering, how does your Christian faith affect your public life and your job?
My Christian faith affects everything I do, from my family to my work. I don't think it's something that you impose. You know, you follow the law when you're a judge. But on the other hand, I was raised by my parents with what I would call just bedrock Western Kentucky values, deep faith in God, a respect for life, love of family. And those ideas guide me in everything that I do. I do serve as a deacon at First Baptist here in Paducah, and I'm humbled by that. I'm very glad to be able to serve in that capacity. And I view this job as a service as well.
Okay, very good. Jenny Hines, to what extent does your Christian faith affect your public life? Okay. And then in particular, so that's one question, then in particular, how would it affect your job if you are elected to the Court of Appeals position?
So, as Judge McNeil has alluded to, I believe that our Christian faith, we're called to live that at all times, whether in private or in public. And in the Bible it says, whatever you do, do it with your whole heart as for the Lord. And I feel like I've been doing that, working for the Court of Appeals. It just gives you a better work ethic, a better work attitude. I want to do things as fairly and as impartially as possible. I recognize the First Amendment is the freedom of religion, not the freedom from religion. But we also, underneath the Kentucky Code of Judicial Conduct, are required to show fairness and impartiality in how we deal with cases. And that applies to me as well. Even before I became a judicial candidate, I was bound to these code of ethics because I work for a judge, and I have worked for two judges. So that's something that I've been in the practice of doing over the past 3 years in working for the court.
Very good. So, Jenny Hines, since you brought up the First Amendment, which affords us freedom of religion, I want to go back to this. There have been a number of cases, especially in the federal courts, now some at the state level, but a number of cases dealing with Christian business owners who have been challenged as far as how they're running their businesses. Some, I think of one of the most notable cases here in Kentucky was Blaine Adamson of Hands On Originals, who declined to fill a T-shirt order for a gay pride event. He was taken before the local Human Rights Commission in Lexington, and they found him guilty of violating the human rights of the LGBT organizers. He was eventually vindicated after a several-year legal battle, but that is an ongoing battle where you have, in particular, LGBT rights that are in conflict with freedom of conscience rights or religious freedom rights. Where do you see this? First of all, where are you? Do Christian business owners have the right to run their business according to their religious convictions?
And I will be a little bit careful on how I answer this, because I don't want to talk about anything that's pending or impending before the court. I'm not sure if that case you said had been finalized, but I'm sure that there are others like it.
Let me jump in if I could. That was the state Supreme Court vindicated Blaine Adamson earlier this year. But he did go through the circuit level. There's, I think, another court of appeals, and then finally the state Supreme Court vindicated him. But that is an ongoing battle. Mm-hmm. There was another case, so let me flesh this out a little further if I could, a case in Louisville where a photographer who was a Christian wanted to run her business without fear of the local, what they call a fairness ordinance, mm-hmm. from possibly being used against her. There was a challenge in the federal court level, and this Christian photographer won. They said that this ordinance violates and potentially violates the religious freedom of business owners.
Right.
So this is an issue that could come before you. I don't want either of you to recuse yourself or have to recuse yourself, but it's an important issue. I think that mm-hmm. the voters should know where you're coming
right.
down on it.
Well, and like I said, the First Amendment is meant to be the freedom of religion with certain parameters. Like if obviously your religion is going to violate another law, then you don't have that freedom to break other laws.
Sure.
Just like, you know, the freedom of protest. If you do a peaceful protest, that's fine. But if you riot and break laws in the process, that's not fine. But certainly, you know, I believe in a smaller government, and I believe in less government regulation. And there's a lot of things that, frankly, you know, as long as they're not doing anything, you know, if they're wanting to express their business and refuse service to other people, as long as it's not on an impermissible thing, such as race or whatnot, I believe that they should have certain protections.
Very good. Judge McNeil, do Christian business owners have the right to run their businesses according to their religious convictions?
Well, they have the right to operate their businesses under the Constitution. And in as much as a conflict comes up with that, it might be due to an ordinance, it might be due to a statute. And that's why we have elections, is what I would say. That's what the business of legislatures is, and that's what the business of city commissions, city councils, that's their business. If a community wants a law or does not want a law, they can elect their leaders and hope that the judges will follow that law and interpret the Constitution, protect the Constitution, protect the language that's in it.
Okay, very good. Judge McNeil, I'm going to come back to you. I noticed you posted on your Facebook page on Constitution Day a quote from Benjamin Franklin. During the Constitutional Convention, he said this, and this is a paraphrase. It was a lengthy speech, or there's more to it, but this is what he said in essence. "We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings, that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe, without his concurring aid, that we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel." Franklin actually made that statement when it looked like the talks were breaking down, the deliberations, and people were frustrated and tired after going at it for quite a while. I believe that Franklin then asked that they pray, which is what they did when they were crafting the Declaration of Independence and deciding whether or not to secede from Great Britain. But I want to get to this idea that Franklin, one of our founding fathers, referenced a biblical passage, and he referenced the idea that God needs to be part of a building project. And of course, he was referring to the building of this nation. And so Judge McNeil, I want to ask you, what role does God have in the public arena?
That caught my attention, and that's why that was posted. And I think that it's fair to say that Ben Franklin was one of many people who had influence in the drafting and in that work. And that was his input, and that had a lot of value. That does not mean that everybody had the same viewpoint. It does not mean that everyone in the group had the same values. But he did, and I thought that was interesting and refreshing, particularly in today's society, that it's important that people be allowed to have their views. He may be part of a larger group like he was, but he was able to express his views.
Very good. Jenny Hines, in the context of this statement by Ben Franklin during the Constitutional Convention, and really in the context that most of the founding fathers were Christians and they operated with a biblical worldview, my question to you is what role does God have in the public arena?
I think that he doesn't have a big enough role, to be honest with you, because what that purpose of that statement was for unity. And the only way that we can achieve unity is by submitting to God's will. Because if you try to, that's the only thing that we can do is just to set aside ourselves, realize it's not about us. And it's up to the Lord to make countries and destroy countries. So if we honor him and what we do and how we run our government, and we were founded on God, in God we trust, It's on our money. It's in everything that we have, in our Pledge of Allegiance, in our national anthem. It's all central around him, and we have to remember that. And when we stray from that, that's when, like I said, we're in danger of losing our country.
Sure. To your point, into this relevant to this discussion, is that the preamble of the Kentucky Constitution references God. It says, "We the people of the Commonwealth of Kentucky, grateful to Almighty God for the civil, political, and religious liberties we enjoy, and invoking the continuance of these blessings, do ordain and establish this Constitution." So here in the Commonwealth, we see where God is referenced as the source of our rights and our liberties. Jenny Hines, I want to go back to you about big news at the federal level. Just a little over a week ago, Amy Coney Barrett, a federal judge, was nominated by President Trump for the Supreme Court of the United States vacancy. Is that a good choice?
Given what I know of her, I believe that it was a good choice. And I think that she and I share a lot of the same values, and that, she obviously is a good Christian. She has her faith in the right place. She has experience, and she's got a great view. And so I do believe that she is.
Sure. Judge McNeil, Amy Coney Barrett is considered maybe the polar opposite of her predecessor, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. What are your feelings on the nomination of Amy Coney Barrett?
Well, I don't know enough about her except for what I read in the news and in the papers, but I do think it's a good thing if you can have a justice who does have a deep faith. Now, that's my own personal opinion. Mm-hmm. I think it's more important that you have a judge that will follow the law, follow the Constitution, and interpret it strictly, and protect the Constitution.
Very good. Amy Coney Barrett is being attacked for her deep faith, but this is not the first time. Back in 2017, when she first came up for her confirmation process before the U.S. Senate, she was told by U.S. Senator Dianne Feinstein at the time. Feinstein said this: "When you read your speeches, the conclusion is that the dogma lives loudly within you, and that's of concern." Real quick, we're going to take a break here, but Judge McNeil, is this appropriate for a high-level governmental official to put a judicial candidate's faith under a microscope?
I think it's okay for the Senate to ask questions. It is their job to advise and consent. Everybody's not going to be on the same page. That's not uncommon for them to be critical or ask questions. You don't want it to boil down to labels. I don't think labels tell the whole story. I think they need to dig into that. And, the bigger question on my mind is when did faith become a bad thing in the public arena?
Mm-hmm. Real quick, I don't know if we got another second. Bill, I'm looking at Bill. I want to give Jenny Hines a chance to respond to that. What do you think about Amy Coney Barrett's faith being under a microscope, and is it appropriate for U.S. Senators to question her faith or her faith commitments?
I do not believe that it's appropriate. If you go back to the Constitution in Article 6, Clause 3, it says no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trustee under the United States. So I feel like that's exactly what was happening there. And if you look at Ruth Bader Ginsburg, she expressed similar views of her faith. So I think that that's what's good for the goose is good for the gander. As I said on your blog page, I thought that that was very well written.
Okay, very good. We're going to take a quick break. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Kentucky Court of Appeals Candidate Forum, hosted by the Commonwealth Policy Center, WKYX and WKDZ.